Good morning, everybody. I'd like you to read along with me our Bible talk reading this morning from Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him.
Can I firstly say how great it is to be back with you here at Wente. We love coming back and seeing many familiar faces from our time here a few years ago now, and seeing new faces as well, people who have joined the church family here during these years that we've been away. How about I lead us in prayer as we reflect together on this passage. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your inspired word, the Bible, a living and active word that gives us all we need for salvation through the Lord Jesus. We thank you that your word is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training us to live as you would have us live. Speak to us now, we pray. Give us minds to understand and hearts to humbly receive and obey your word as disciples of Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, we're back in Australia after more than 9 years of ministry in Spain. And a question we have often been asked is, why did we go? Why would anyone in their right mind choose something which would cause difficulty and hardship for their family? The short answer is, it is because we follow Jesus and are convinced that understanding who Jesus is and the authority he has over us and all things drastically changes your life and what is important to you in life. Today's passage that we've read is going to help us consider Jesus' authority and what that might mean for our lives as we reflect on our response to him. Now, prior to these verses that we have read this morning, prior to chapter 5, we find in Luke's Gospel a description of the beginning of Jesus' ministry throughout the region of Galilee. One of the key themes that we see in these chapters is the authority of Jesus, who was declared to be the Son of God at his baptism in chapter 3. We aren't just left with this declaration of authority as the Son of God. In chapter 4, we read of how Jesus demonstrated his authority through his teaching. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. the declaration at the baptism, this response to Jesus' teaching. But we also see the reaction of the people when Jesus casts out a demon. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words are these? With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." But it's not just the teaching, the declaration at the baptism, the power over demons. In chapter 4, we also see his authority over sickness. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying hands on each one, he healed them. So just in these early chapters of Luke's gospel, we see Jesus' authority to teach, his authority over demons, his authority over sickness. But perhaps today, if we're reading through this gospel up to this point, we might feel a little bit at a distance from the action of these events. I mean, I'm reasonably confident that among us this morning there aren't many people who think they are demon-possessed. And I'm not particularly unwell. I have a minor cold, but I can pop a few pills. And really, if I had a serious fever or something, I'd take myself off to hospital to get some help there. So does this really matter? But dismissing Jesus in this way is no longer relevant to us in today's society with all its advancements, the joys of modern medicine. It may be convenient, but it shows a failure to understand the extent of Jesus' authority over us. The good news is the passage that we've read this morning invites us to rethink the importance of this relationship between Jesus' authority and the reality of our lives as human beings. What we'll see in this passage is that all of us have something in common with Simon the fisherman. His encounter with Jesus on the shore of the Lake of Gennesaret teaches us something very important about Jesus' authority and why it should matter to us even today. Let's return to the passage to remind ourselves of the context of this encounter Simon has with the Lord Jesus. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. There was a large crowd of people wanting to hear the word of God. They wanted to hear Jesus' teaching, but there were some logistical challenges, we could say. And so what takes place is the first transformation that we see in this passage. Jesus transforms the boat from a tool for fishing into a platform for preaching. I mention this because it won't be the last transformation that we see in this passage. There's a more significant and important transformation still to come. For now, though, let's return to Luke's account of what took place. Look with me at what Jesus says to Simon in verse 4 when he has finished speaking to the crowd. He said to Simon, "Put into deep water, let down the nets for a catch." Now, this instruction seems reasonable, doesn't it? Until you consider just a few of the details. Firstly, Jesus is a carpenter, not a fisherman. And secondly, those who were trained as fishermen had been fishing all night and caught nothing. What would a carpenter know about fishing methods and techniques? Now, last year at our church in Valencia, we needed to install a couple of extra PowerPoints. And to save the church some money, another CMS missionary who'd recently arrived, Jim French, he was there in the video, he offered to do this work. Now, I helped him out in doing that work, but I can tell you there wasn't a single moment where I was even tempted to give him advice on that work that he was doing. My studies in economics and theology were not particularly useful for that task, but Jim is a licensed electrician, and he knew what he was doing. And so I stayed quiet and did what I was told, and the job got done well. So returning to our fishing story, it's hardly surprising that Simon the fisherman has a few doubts about the instruction given by Jesus the carpenter. However, we read how Simon responded in verse 5. "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Even though Simon at this point has a limited understanding of who Jesus is, he knew enough to trust his words in spite of the circumstances. I think in this response to Jesus' instruction, we have a model of what it means to trust Jesus and follow him. To be a disciple. See, it means trusting and obeying his word in spite of whatever doubts we might have. See, obviously, it's not very difficult to follow someone's instructions when they are exactly the same as what you think is the best course of action. But the test of our faith as a disciple of Jesus is when we have reasons to consider an alternative approach. Our friends are saying or doing the reverse. Society is promoting a different view or a different way forward. Perhaps family or an unbelieving friend is trying to convince you that Jesus' words in the Bible are old, outdated, and no longer relevant. Or sadly, even within the Christian church, you can find an approach where the Bible is passed through a filter to determine which parts are the Word of God and which are no longer relevant for our world today. It is precisely in these situations that disciples of Jesus show their trust in him and his word, rather than trust in an alternative authority. One morning in Valencia, we were visited by a former Roman Catholic priest and his girlfriend. He had contacted the diocesan office of the Spanish Anglican Church because he was interested in exploring ministry opportunities within Spain. And it became clear, speaking with him over morning tea, that his girlfriend, who he had brought along, were living together. They weren't married. Those instructions, that part of God's word, they didn't consider relevant to them. And I explained to one of another person at church later, I said, that man will not be leading up the front of church, and I will not support his progression into church leadership because he's living with someone he's not married to. And they said to me, "Ah, yes, John, but society today has moved on since those days." Do you trust Jesus and his word? Or will you only listen and follow him when his instruction agrees with some other authority you have placed over him? That's not what disciples of Jesus do. Let's return to our fishing episode because Simon's response is stunning. In spite of everything, he says, "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And now have a look with me from verse 6 onwards. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Now, if we pause for a moment at this point in the story, what's the reaction you would expect from Simon the fisherman? I mean, this would be one of the catches of his life. And after such a terrible result the night before, you'd expect a fisherman to get excited about such an extraordinary catch of fish. But it's not what happened. Look at his reaction in verse 8. When Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. Simon and his companions knew perfectly well that such an extraordinary catch of fish after the night before was a miracle. And it was through this miracle that Jesus revealed something of himself and his authority. Simon's companions were astonished. Simon is clearly afraid. It's interesting the progression in Simon's thinking. Back in verse 5, he addressed Jesus as Master. Master, we've worked hard all night. That's a title for a teacher or an overseer. But now he addresses Jesus as Lord and falls at his knees. He's conscious he doesn't even deserve to be in his presence. He's aware of his sin, his rejection of God and God's right rule over him. There's this great obstacle. And so he begs Jesus to go away. I think this encounter between Simon and Jesus gives a great window into what any genuine encounter with Jesus will be like for us as flawed human beings. Drawing near to Jesus with a genuine understanding of our failings will be disturbing and confronting. There is no way to hide our guilt and our shame. And yet, in Jesus' response to Simon's request that he leaves, we find the beautiful announcement of the gospel, of good news for all who recognize their failings. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." Three words. So powerful and significant to all those who humbly approach Jesus, ready to repent, to turn around and trust Jesus and his promises to us. Don't be afraid. Jesus could say this because he knew that one day in the future, he would pay the price for the forgiveness of Simon's sins and our sins. In fact, this is why Jesus came. There's a beautiful verse in Mark's Gospel that summarizes this for us. In chapter 10 of Mark's Gospel, Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." In Spain's nominal Roman Catholic culture, there was a tendency for many people to think that the basis for approaching God and for being confident in that relationship was through our own efforts. It was through being good enough for God. The problem with this thinking is that it implies that Jesus' sacrifice, his death on the cross for us, and his resurrection from the dead was not necessary. We could do it on our own. From time to time in Valencia, I was contacted through our church website from interested people before they came along to church. They would write to me, they'd fill out the form on the website, send me a message, and one of the questions that was sent through on a number of occasions was whether our church would accept everyone as they are. There's a big problem with this question. It shows a misunderstanding of the gospel. In my response, I always tried to say something like the following: our church is committed to sharing the good news of the forgiveness of sins through trust in Jesus, and so we welcome everyone. You don't need to be afraid to come along. However, at the same time, we want everyone to understand the truth of God's word and the reality of our situation before God. No one deserves to be in his presence, and it is only through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, through trusting in him, that we can delight in a restored relationship with God and the sure and certain hope of eternal life. See, disciples of Jesus don't continue the same as they were before. An authentic encounter with Jesus changes us and will continue to change us until we die or Jesus returns. I would love to see you on Sunday and give you a warm welcome. Now, as you can imagine, that was not the answer some people wanted. Some people did not want to change, but they wanted to be affirmed in certain behaviours that were clearly contrary to God's word. However, in God's kindness, others did come, and we saw God at work, growing and transforming lives, like he did with Simon the fisherman. See, Jesus didn't just offer Simon security, don't be afraid. He offered a transformed life. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. Making the decision to follow Jesus is not one to take lightly. It is an all of life, all of self commitment that will change everything moving forward. Later in Luke's gospel, there's a parable that ends with these challenging words from Jesus, which were very confronting for us as we were thinking through the possibility of serving overseas and accepting those costs. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus says, "In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." And Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him." You're not losing out when you leave everything to follow Jesus. But it does involve a radical change in your life. There are different priorities, different perspectives, different concerns. For disciples of Jesus, there will be nothing more important than knowing and trusting him. It's a radical change. Simon's encounter with Jesus serves as a pattern for the work of Jesus in the life of anyone who wants to be a disciple. It will look different and unique for each one of us, but there will be significant ongoing transformation. Jesus said to Simon, "From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled up their boats, left everything, and followed him. There's an observation of Jesus' ongoing work in the world that we can make from these final verses of our passage, which should be a tremendous encouragement to each of us as we strive and struggle as followers of Jesus. And we can observe the following. The power and authority of Jesus in this account is clearly seen through the actions of a humble, doubting, scared human being. Simon the fisherman follows Jesus' instructions and catches two boats full of fish. But after this, the words of Jesus to Simon are directed to the future. He will become a fisher of men. And here we have another miracle taking place, one even more spectacular than the catch of fish, which might grab our attention. It's the transformation of the life of a disciple. I mentioned earlier how Jesus transformed a boat into a preaching platform. Well, now he's transforming a fisherman into a preacher and evangelist. This works beautifully in Spanish, because the words both start with P. He's transforming him from a fisherman, pescador, to a preacher, a predicador. I couldn't make it work in English, but it's from a fisherman to a preacher and an evangelist. But the truth, the joy of that transformation is still there. There's a nice detail in this passage that I noticed for the first time recently. In verse 6, the word they used to describe an enormous catch of fish, our translations just run with such a large number of fish, that it's literally a great multitude of fish. That's what they caught, two boats full, a great multitude of fish. And now Jesus says, you won't be catching fish, but men. And in the book of Acts, which is Luke's second volume, which recounts the beginning of the Christian church and that early preaching and growth of the church, that same word, multitude, is used more than 10 times to describe the number of new believers responding to the proclamation of the gospel. So in Acts chapter 5, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number, that is, multitudes of men and women believed. And in chapter 14, a great multitude of Jews and Greeks believed. So it's no longer the multitude of fish that Simon caught. It's the multitude of people being brought in to the kingdom. Not fish, but men and women. I think one of the exciting implications we can observe in Simon's transformation is the way Jesus' authority extends through his disciples. The power of Jesus at work through his disciples. Now, this should be a great encouragement to us, a great reason for confidence as we see what Jesus did through a humble, weak, flawed fisherman. Jesus chose to gather many more new disciples, a multitude, through the work of this man Simon and other disciples like him. And can I tell you, as you're in the middle of this vision series, thinking about what you're on about as a church, humble, weak, flawed disciples continue to be used by Jesus to accomplish his good purposes. This has certainly been our experience. As I mentioned, when you learn another language, such as an easy language like Spanish, to learn, most people after 3 or 4 years, they would estimate, have the communication ability of a 4 or 5 year old child. Isn't that encouraging? After 3 or 4 years of hours and hours in the study of all that humiliation, trying to shop and making mistakes and making a fool of yourself, you're speaking like a 4 or 5 year old. I began pastoring the church in Valencia after 10 months in Spain. And during that 10 months, I was studying part-time because Jody was studying Spanish as well and we needed to look after the children. But here's the thing. God worked in extraordinary ways through our weakness to draw people to himself. Jesus continues to accomplish his good purposes through humble, weak, flawed disciples. People like you, people like me. We began today speaking about the authority of Jesus to teach, his authority over demons, his authority over sickness. In this passage today, we see a new aspect to this authority. In this encounter with Simon the fisherman, we see how Jesus' authority touches the human condition, our lives as flawed human beings. Jesus has the authority to receive sinners, to transform their lives, and to then work through them to transform the lives of others. That is what Jesus is continuing to do in the world. Here in Wentworthville, over in Valencia, in Spain, and throughout the world. Do you know this Jesus? Has he transformed your life? Are you working in his strength, trusting him to see new disciples added to those whom God is saving? Let's pray that God will help us do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful passage in Luke's Gospel and for that tremendous encounter that Simon had with the Lord Jesus, for his awareness of his failings and those great comforting words from Jesus, "Don't be afraid." Thank you that because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, we need not be afraid. Thank you for the transformation we see in Simon's life, for Jesus' work through him to save many multitudes. Thank you that you continue doing that work through disciples today. Give us a boldness, not based on our own strength, our own capacities, but in spite of our weaknesses, help us trust you and Jesus' power that continues to be at work through his disciples. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.